How do you measure whether you've had a good day or not? Do you do it on the basis of how easy it was and free of complications? Or do you measure it on how many trials and tribulations you had through the day? Or do you measure it on the obstacles you encountered and successfully defeated as you went through the day? If you hadn't realized it, life is full of challenges and obstacles. It's a story about an avid golfer who was explaining the difficulty of a particular course to a friend who didn't play golf. And this one particular hole he always had trouble with because there was a ditch that went across the fairway between the tee box and the green. And his friend says, "Well, why don't they just fill in the ditch?" A woman was watching a tennis match for her first time and noticed how many times the tennis balls were hit hard into the net. And she asked her friend, "Why don't they take down the net?" Some people are just not aware of how important obstacles are in life, and not only that they are there, but that we learn to conquer them, to overcome them, to win the battle. With that in mind, let's look to our scripture today from 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves His children too. We know we love God's children if we love God or obey His commands. Loving God means keeping His commandments. And really, that isn't difficult. For every child of God defeats this world by trusting Christ to give the victory. And the one who wins the battle against the world are the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by His baptism in water and by shedding His blood on the cross, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit also gives us the testimony that this is true. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and they all agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about His Son. All who believe in the Son of God know that this is true. And those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about His Son. And this is what God testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So whoever has God's Son has life, and whoever does not have His Son does not have life. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Let us pray. Lord, help us in these moments to hear afresh Your Word for us today. It's a Word that gives encouragement and strength, guidance and excitement as we face life's challenges, that we might be empowered by You, strengthened by You, and enabled by You to become the victors in the battle of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this battle of life, John tells us that there's really one primary key to being able to win, and to win the battle and to overcome the obstacles that are in life. And that key is faith in Jesus as God's Son. In fact, that's what he says, is that as he opened his gospel, that was what was important, that we had experienced Him, we have known Him, we have walked with Him, and now we want you to know all of this. And so he's writing the letter to his friends in order to enable them to know the truths that they have known. And then he begins this chapter saying, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is the Son of God. And that theme, which has been a major one in his letter, is reiterated over and over again. And it reminds us of how really simple it is to have faith in Christ and to be one of God's children. However, sometimes we get all things all mixed up and try to make it difficult. And I know I went through a phase in my life where I was convinced that you had to be good enough and you had to obey the commandments well enough and all those kinds of things in order to measure up to deserve God's love. But that's not true. A woman was talking to a pastor about those same kinds of difficulties on one occasion because she was having trouble having faith in Christ and understanding what it meant to be one of His children. And finally, the pastor stopped the conversation and started in a whole new direction. He said, "Mrs. Franklin, how long have you been Mrs. Franklin?" And she says, "Well, ever since the pastor said, 'Will you take this man to be your wedded husband?' And you said," he interrupted, "'I'll try,' or 'I think so,' or 'I'll do my best.'" And she says, "No, I didn't. I said, 'I will.'" And he says, "Well, then why can't you answer with the same affirmation when God simply asks you the question, 'Will you take my son Jesus to be your Savior?'" And she says, "Is that all there is to it?" And he says, "Yes, it's a step of faith and of acceptance of Him as our Savior and Lord." And that's where John's coming from, as he writes in this chapter the importance of having that faith relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's a way to test whether or not we really have that faith. And it's what I call the love test. And there's two parts to the test. And the first part is, do we love people? Because if we love people, God is in us. Because it's only by God's love that we are able to love all people. Now, there are some we could love regardless. I mean, for various kinds of reasons. But there are also some that we would have great difficulty in ever loving were it not for God's Spirit at work in us. And so, if we're able to really love and let God's love flow through us, then we are God's children. The second test of love is, do we love God and obey His commandments? And it's interesting how often the Scripture ties those two pieces together. It's not that we obey God in order to prove ourselves worthy of His love. We obey because He first loved us, and the way, at least one way, in which we show love back to Him is through obedience. And so He invites us to obey. That's what the passage from John 15 that Samantha read earlier was talking about. "This is my commandment, that you love one another. If you keep my commandments, then I will give the Holy Spirit and He will answer your prayers and anything that you ask in my name," and so forth. So that obedience is tied to our response to God's love for us. It's part of the ways that we evidence God's love for us. Over and over again, the Scripture gives that kind of testimony. The final thing that John says is that we also have witnesses to what this love is like and what this faith is like in our life. And the first witness is a threefold witness. It is the witness of the blood, the water, and the Spirit. And all three of these are in agreement. In baptism, Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist, who said, "I need to be baptized by you." But Jesus reminded him that he needed to follow what the law said and complete all of its requirements. And so he was baptized, and when he did, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit came down, And a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So in that one event, there was the witness of water and of the Spirit. And then at the cross, as Jesus was crucified, there is the witness of the blood and the water. As he was bleeding from the crown of thorns, he was bleeding from the lashings he had received. He bled both blood and water from the spear the soldier put in his side to be sure that he was dead. And these also agree. In fact, it was such a powerful witness when Jesus died and there was the thunder and the clouds got dark and the, temple curtain was torn in two, earthquake and everything, that the soldier who was standing there that stuck the spear in him said, "Now I believe this was the Son of God." And he gave testimony to that as well. And then on the day of Pentecost, which we celebrate in a couple of weeks, the Holy Spirit came upon the believers there, 120 of them gathered in prayer and poured out in such a way that he became visible as if tongues of fire were landing on the apostles. And they began to speak in such a way that people from all over the world heard and understood in their own mother tongues. And as a result of that witness of the Spirit, 3,000 were baptized and joined the believers that day. And so all three of these, the water, the blood, the Spirit, bear constant and agreeing witness that Jesus is the Son of God. But John says there's an even more powerful witness than this. Because if we who believe the witnesses or the testimonies of people, then we ought even more to believe the testimony of God. And God Himself says that Jesus is His Son. God Himself invites us to believe in Him. In fact, it's only because of God's Spirit through Jesus Christ that people's lives are really able to be transformed into His likeness. A number of years ago, there was a famous atheist who became a believer by the name of Henry Ironside. And he became an evangelist, helping others to have faith in Jesus Christ. And in one of his meetings, he noticed a man was writing something on an index card. And he handed the index card to an usher who brought it to Dr. Ironside on the platform. After he read it, Dr. Ironside read it publicly to the crowd that was gathered, and it said, it told who he was. He was a famous agnostic of the day, which means you can't tell whether there is a God or not. And he challenged Dr. Ironside to a public debate, and he would incur all of the expenses for that debate, that they could debate whether there was a God or not. And after he read the invitation, Dr. Ironside said, "I will accept on two conditions. First, that you bring a man who has been a sinner and who had a depraved life and who, having heard the tenets of your agnosticism, came to a place of having his life transformed, is now an upright and honorable citizen living a life worthy of honor. And secondly, that you'll bring a woman who had lived a life of sin, who, having heard your agnosticism proclaimed, has turned her life around and has become a woman of outstanding character and valor in the community and living her life well." And said, "If you will do that, I will debate you and I will bring 100 men and women who have had that kind of turnaround because of faith in Christ." And the agnostic could not respond. He simply got up and walked out. Because the only thing that really changes our lives is faith in Christ. And it's the only power that is able to give us the strength to overcome obstacles in the world. A number of years ago, I walked in on a conversation between a mother and a daughter. The daughter was in her teenage years, and so it was one of those kinds of conversations. It wasn't really a conversation. It was an argument. I mean, hands on the hips, fingers in the face, and the whole works. You know what it's like. And they were really just going at each other about something. And I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew I had to do something before they killed each other. And so I walked up to them, and I put an arm on each one of their shoulders and said, bowed my head between them. I says, "Now, ladies, this is going to be a clean fight. There'll be no hitting below the belt. There'll be no striking the other when they are down. This will be a loving argument, and you will honor Christ in everything you do. Amen." And they both looked at me and just burst out laughing. And the argument was over. Because there's something about the presence and the power of Jesus that changes our lives. enables us to overcome the obstacles in life, to win the battle, to have that abundant life that He has promised us. This is what we have because of Christ's resurrection. Let us pray. Lord, help us in these moments to know the power of Your grace, the strength of Your love, the ability of Your Spirit to work in us in such a way that we might know that You are the one who not only fills us with faith, but strengthens us to face the days, so that whatever obstacles come in our way, by Your strength in us, we are able to embrace them, to tackle them. And when we fall, You have pick us up and we keep on going, so that in the end, we have victory in life. Show us the way to do that day by day.